Blog Talk Radio. It is a rare nighttime version of the show on Thursday, March 12th, 2015. Just happy to have you all with us. We had scheduled the show for this morning, but had to change it because my guest had to go out and do some live streaming today. And he was all over town, so but he's back and with us now, so we're waiting for that part of the show to begin. But let me just make my announcement so people who are new know what's going on. Talkupy is about people who do good things for community and make the world a better place with what they do. This is raw, live radio. If anything happens, don't give up or worry about it. We'll get it back together probably most of the time. That's happened in the history of the 140 show, history of the show. So just hang in there with us, and we'll try to find our rhythm and have a good back and forth with each other so you can digest what's all being said. You can follow Talkupy on Twitter at Talkupy_radio and visit the website, which is Talkupy.net. You're going to find my blogs, photos and videos and show notes there and archives of about 140 shows. I don't know who was my last guest. I can't remember, which is sad. I don't know. It was a while back. I have not had any sleep basically since Friday night when things got really bad in Madison for Tony Robinson. And it's just been getting kind of crazier this week. This has been a really heavy week. So please bear with me with that. Also, I did want to remind you that going to Talkupy.net or following on Twitter is really important right now. BTR put out, Blog Talk Radio put out a new terms thing today that I'm not really happy with. So we may be moving to a different platform. I'm not saying yes or no, but if you don't see shows popping up on here after March, you will be able to find me by going to Talkupy.net or on the Twitter. So please do that. Also, I do want to thank Ronald Jenkins for his song, Disorganized Fun, which is the Talkupy theme song. And you can check him out at ronaldjenkins.com. And then we always close these days with Earth Guardians, Shuteskut, and it's Squatly Martinez, Roski Martinez, and their song Be the Change. So let's get on with this great show. I'm really excited tonight to welcome back to the show my friend Michael Pellegatti, Pella Libertas, Mikey. He's got a lot of names, a lot of handles, don't you, Mikey?
yeah, I do.
But that's good. And he's home. You're home in New Jersey, and with your cat, and you're ready to tell us all about the Occupy Wall Street tour that you have created and are ready to launch next Tuesday, which is also St. Patrick's Day. Kind of interesting timing there.
Yeah,
that should be good, right?
Stop off at a pub. I chose that date for a very specific reason. So
okay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the reason you chose that, other than it's the 17th, of course?
As you know, a few years ago, March 17th was a pretty dark day in the mythos of Occupy Wall Street. A lot of people got hurt. A friend of mine, Cecily McMillan, had some drama that day. And I'm kind of doing that as maybe in terms of a spiritual shift, because there's a lot of negative energy associated with March 17th. So I want to do something positive.
Awesome. That's good. Well, it's definitely a good day to do positive things. It's an upbeat day always, I think, St. Patrick's Day. And any day that's the 17th for all of us who, you know, have Occupy in our hearts, or, you know, at some point in time got to touch at least the lower Manhattan piece of it. I was just thinking before you came on that, you know, you could do a world tour of Occupy if, you know, you did it on a computer or something. But you are a licensed tour guide in New York City. So this isn't like something that, you know, you made up because, you know, like it out of thin air. It's something that you do for a living. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
All right, I'll get into that. It was 2013, and I'm sitting in Zuccotti Park, or Liberty Square, as most folks call it, and my unemployment's running out.
You know, you're fading on me a little bit, Mike. You're fading on me a little bit.
Well,
I don't know.
Let me go inside. Maybe it's better if I go inside.
Okay.
Is that better?
We'll see.
What?
I said we'll see. Well, hope so.
Okay. I was saying, basically what happened was, I'm sitting in Liberty Square, and you know, my unemployment's running out, and I got to figure out something quick about employment. So I'm looking at the tour buses going by, and I'm like, you know, I've lived here long enough. I think I could do that job. But it turns out that I need to get licensed. So I go through the first, I go through my test the first time, and I failed the first time.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't think it, but I failed the first time.
No, I would not think it.
I got 86 out of 150. I was supposed to get 97 questions correct, and I was mad. That kind of lit a fire under me. And, you know, I lived in this area my whole entire life, and I can't pass a test on New York City. What's up with that? So back to the drawing board. I spent the next 3 weeks, this was July, I believe, I spent the next 3 weeks, reading. I went through like a 500-page book in like 3 days.
Oh, wow. Your phone, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to have to get this phone right because it's really fading in and out. I don't know what's going on. It might have been better where you were when I first called you.
Okay. All right. I'm right where I am now.
All right. We'll try that.
On the stairs. Is it better now?
It's still a little tweaky, but we'll keep trying.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know.
They don't want me talking about this, do they?
What's that?
They really don't want me talking about my tour, do they?
No, they don't. But that's all right. It sounds a little bit better. So anyway, so you had to go back and try. I mean, you have like this photographic memory. You're like really, and you love history. So yeah, I'm really surprised you didn't get it the first time. But
right. So what happened was I took the test the second time, and after reading the 500-page book, I scored 137 out of 150.
Uh oh. You know what I promised you at the beginning of the show, guys, about how we'd be able to salvage it? I don't know. We're going to try calling it back again and see if we could do this. If not, we'll just reschedule it and do it when we can get a better line. That's what we do on Talkupy. We either make it happen immediately or we make it happen eventually. I've had one show where that happened, where I only scheduled for 15 minutes and I had to redo the show. We'll see if this turns out to be one of those times. It wasn't a bad connection originally. But bear with us. Mikey really wants to tell his story. I really want to hear it. Okay. I'm going to get a voicemail, I think. No, it's still dialing. But I'm going to try again. All right. Oh, it's not.
All hey. Right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Sounds better. We'll keep trying.
Yeah.
If we can't do it, we'll just do another show. It's no big deal. So
anyway,
yeah, so
you went
back the second time.
I went back the second time, and I got 137 out of 150.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very rare score to get. It's very rare to get above 125, let alone 137. So, you know,
I like
pretty,
it.
I get the star next to my name on the New York .gov website.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
They have to list all the licensed tour guides. So if you're going on a tour and somebody is not licensed or says they're licensed but they're not, you can look them up on newyork.gov and they'll be there or not.
Very cool. So then you started doing the tour guiding, and did you really like it? Seems like you did. I mean, it seemed like you threw it like a fish to water.
The thing is, I do the bus tours. The thing about the bus tours is I like it, but I don't like it. it's a love hate relationship. The thing is, at first it was good for me.
Yeah.
Because it helped me get acquainted with the city.
Right.
But as time goes on, and I'm
yeah.
reading more and more books and learning more and more information, I don't have enough time to get all the information out of my bus tour.
Right. Right. And you
That's
want
like,
to tell it because it feels important, right?
It's like shotgun style, you know.
Yeah.
To your right's the Empire State Building. To your left is the next. I'm trying to think. To your left. To your left is the D. Altman store or original D. Altman store. You know, I gotta go. It's like left, right, left, right, left, right. And, you know, there's more of a story to it, and
yeah.
I can't really get into it because
right.
the bus is going too fast.
That wasn't my problem when I lived there. The buses, everything, traffic usually went slow enough. I'm surprised you can't say everything you have to say. But that's funny. So anyway, when did you decide that you would do this? I mean, I know that it was a hard thing to think about, you know, because there's people have opinions about, you know, what your motives are and all these other things, you know, when you do something that is connected to Occupy, you know, that involves commerce in some way. But I know you love history, and I know that you're really committed to saying things, and I know you also are an original occupier, so you were there from the beginning, and, you know, you have a lot to say, but what made you decide that you were going to go ahead and do this kind of
story? If I may use a big word, it's a plethora of reasons.
That's
a
Howard Cosell word, by the way.
It's a plethora of reasons.
Right.
I'll start off first, the most obvious reason, which kind of led me to where I am today. I do the countercultural tour of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really Occupy related. It's more about the other information regards to New York, or Lower Manhattan at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that I ran into is when I took people on my private tour. My private tour is supposed to be for 3 hours. But if I include Occupy stuff, that 3 hours
right.
turns into 5 hours.
Okay.
That's one reason.
Right.
Reason number two. Normally, I hang out in Zuccotti Park. I mean, when I say that, I'm there almost every single day.
Really?
Yes. I sit in the park. I read my book. I eat my lunch there. You know, it's kind of like my home in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I see tour guides go through Zuccotti Park all the time, and they don't say a thing.
Oh.
They'll say something to the extent of, oh, this is where Occupy Wall Street was. This is where they changed the conversation with the protest a few years ago. That's it.
Mm.
They don't say anything else. They don't talk about the kitchen. They don't talk about sanitation. They don't
talk
about the drama that happened in the park. They don't talk about the moments that really solidified Occupy. They don't talk about any of that history. If I can put it in best terms, let's say somebody's walking through your house. Somebody walks through your house, and they're guiding a tour through your house, but they're not acknowledging you or what you did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that would be pretty offensive to you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not some well-known celebrity person, but the fact is, you know, I look at Zuccotti Park as my home, and, you know, I live there. And for people to walk through and not really go into depth about, you know, all the triumphs and tribulations that happened in that park, you know, I kind of find it offensive. And, you know, it really started to dawn on me slowly, not immediately at first. Remember, I had some reservations about, you know, using the name Occupy.
Right.
I had some reservations about it. And then I got to a point when doing the bus tour that I don't know what happened to me last year, but I guess it was a cold, really cold day that got to me. And I said to myself, I can't be doing this much longer. So I asked one of my coworkers who has a deal or a gig with this company, Side Tour. Let me get it straight, though. I do occupy the tour through two different venues.
Right.
One is specifically designated for college students. The other one specifically designated for general admission. But I'll digress. I was talking to a coworker who had a gig with Side Tour, and he knows my backstory, and he's like, "You'd be a perfect fit." So I called up Side Tour and I gave them my pitch, and they were cool with it. But the thing was, before I did that, I put out a public announcement on Facebook. There is no longer a general assembly, obviously, so
right.
It's not like I can do it through a GA.
Right.
I put out a public announcement on Facebook, and I asked literally everybody that I could ask. I'm talking about people that I lived with in that park. Do you have a problem with me doing this? Do you have a problem with me using the name Occupy? As far as I'm concerned, I asked about 60 people, and I got no opposition whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through with my thing with Side Tour, and my Groupon deal came out, and I got some backlash on Reddit for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. You know, I don't know if it's I don't know if the Reddit crowd really knows who I am, or you know, anybody who's an Occupy knows who I am.
Right.
But I don't know if the Reddit crowd knows my deal or you know what I'm all about. But I can understand personally as a tour guy what it's like for another tour guy to come in and take advantage of a situation that they have little to do with.
Right.
I felt that today in Harlem, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. If I can get into that for a little bit.
Sure.
I saw a tour guide in Harlem today. You know, this guy looks like he's only been in Harlem maybe a year. Obviously he's Caucasian. From the way he spoke, he was very well educated. As a tour guide, I think it's very offensive that if you don't get the blessing from the community, you shouldn't have a right to do a tour in a community if you don't have the blessing from the community beforehand. There is a community up in Harlem. You know, it's a community that's struggling right now. They're going through a gentrification war. And for somebody to come in and treat that like it's a tourist exhibit instead of an educational exhibit, I was disgusted. So I understand very well that feeling where, you know, somebody comes in who has nothing to do with whatever they're talking about, and they take it as their own and exploit it. That's why I went through a very tedious process to ask everybody that I could ask if they were okay with me using the name Occupy for the tour.
And let me ask you this. Why do you think you got such unanimous thumbs up? Like, what, you know, that, I mean, let me just say, I'm going to say what I think it is, because I think you have a lot of integrity with, you know, the facts and the history, and that obviously you have an incredible passion for it. But, you know, and that people, I think one of the things that I read on one of your posts, you know, and it goes to what you were just saying about Harlem, you know, it's like, if somebody's going to do it, it needs to be someone who has, you know, has the experience, the passion, and the integrity, you know, to make sure that it doesn't get done wrong, like you saw it being done in Harlem. Was that pretty much what people were saying? Did I miss anything?
That's pretty much on the same wavelength. Yes. As far as my own experience in the encampment goes, that I had a pretty unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
That might have to do with it as well. Mm. 'Cause I was somebody, when I was at Liberty Square, I could go back and forth between the divide of the camp. I could go back and forth. What I mean by that is I could go back and forth between the wealthier, well-to-do activists who were there for, you know, the reasons that they sought to be there. And I could also go to the homeless camp, too, and, you know, and break bread with them as well. I wasn't specifically aligned to any, you know, affinity group or trust group of sorts, because I was just a guy who held signs. You know, I was also a member of the media team. You know, I took photos and I did social media, but I held signs. That was my that was my thing. I was always at the front of the park holding signs, but I always tried to be inclusive with everyone and not just a select few. So
let me ask you this, Mikey, because like now I'm wondering, because I don't know the story, but what brought you to Zuccotti in the first place? Like, why did you go there? I mean, a lot of people knew about it, but they didn't go live there. What made you? What was your turning point? Because I don't know. Were you that kind of person looking out for those kind of things, or?
That's a very good question. Let me see how I can answer that and give you a good answer. All right. This is kind of I would say the philosophical evolution of me.
Okay.
When I first got involved with activism, I got involved with an organization called the Jersey City Peace Movement. And basically, it was very simple, very clear cut. Speak out against the wars and feed the homeless. And so I participated with Jersey City Peace Movement. I'm still a member with them. Just, you know, I'm not there as much because I'm, you know, very busy. But when I can go, I'll go. I was a member of Jersey City Peace Movement, and through Jersey City Peace Movement, I got involved with an organization called the United National Anti-War Committee.
Okay.
And they were a bunch of left-wing organizations, center, more, a little bit left, a little bit left of center left. I'll put it that way. I got involved with them, and I organized with them. I remember organizing and handing out flyers promoting a 14,000-person march from April of 2011 with UNAC. And it was for UNAC I got involved with another group. Now, this is a very left-wing group. Got involved with Workers' World Party.
Your phone's going a little bit in and out again. I'm not sure what's
come
going on.
On
if you... No, it's like it's weird. It's like it's going in a hole. Just try and stay. I don't know if you're moving your face or not, but anyway. Okay,
I'm moving. Okay.
You got another group?
I got involved with Workers' World Party.
Okay.
And it was through that network where... the email was released in July 13th. The infamous email, the meme from Adbusters, the ballerina dancing on the bull.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought to my attention that there was going to be a big protest on September 17th, 2011. Well, next thing you know, I take right to my Facebook and I promote that protest. And I promote it again. And again, and again, my Facebook becomes maybe by extension an arm of that protest movement. I spent every single post on Facebook dedicated to promoting Occupy Wall Street, just the protest, not the movement.
Right. Why were you so fascinated by it? Why was it so? Why did it grab you so much?
Because. Remember the anti-war group. This kind of ties into my natural animosity toward the police state.
Okay.
That was a major evolution. I had a bit of an incident a long time ago, 2007, where I was locked up in a psychiatric ward because I left my poetry book at my job.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, I was a pretty crazy kid back then. You know, I'm a bit of a, you know, I was a bit of a right-wing nut job. And,
no.
You know,
come on.
Yes, me. You talk to my former teachers from high school who may or may not be listening to this. They will tell you exactly that I had some issues back then.
Okay.
You know, I was self-loathing. You know, I wasn't comfortable with who I was. I wasn't comfortable. I was trying to gain acceptance from a mainstream that wouldn't accept somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to learn my lesson the hard way. And so I forgot what poem I wrote. I forgot what its contents were, but it was some violent stuff. Not that it was making threats to anyone. It was
right.
Just talking about a hypothetical scenario. But my book was confiscated, and I was escorted from my job. And when I got home, the police department was raiding the apartment that I shared with my father, and I got thrown into a psych ward.
Wow.
Against my will.
So that's why it resonated with you.
That
makes sense.
Where, now, you got to understand, it was a gradual drift towards where I was going. What happened was after that, a year after that, 2008, I kind of went into a retreat. I went to Florida. I spent a year in Florida, and I came back to this area in 2009. There's really not much to talk about in Florida. I didn't really do a lot down there. I was living in the boondocks, fishing every day.
Yeah.
But anywho, I came back 2009 and I began to read books. And I was on a reading binge from 2009 to 2011. And I read about 150 books in that span of time.
Wow. Were they mostly history books or political books?
Political books, history books, religious books, basically all the heavy subjects you're not supposed to talk about at the dinner table.
Right. So what was one of the ones that stuck out for you that you read during that time period?
the writings of Thomas Paine.
Okay,
that was
that's
one
great.
Of the that was one of the standouts. I read Age of Reason. I've read Common Sense, Agrarian Justice. That was really like Thomas Paine was one of my early inspirations. I also read Das Kapital and Atlas Shrugged back to back, just to judge for myself.
Wow, that's great.
I didn't really understand much of Das Kapital aside from like the general bullet points, but you know.
Well, you're young.
I have a very...
People don't know that either. I mean, you were talking about when you're like, you were 23 in 2011, right?
I was 24 in 2011.
Okay.
So I'm about 21, 22 when I'm reading.
Oh, okay. When you're reading all that stuff, yeah. So that's great. So you read all those books and they got you informed and then you saw the thing and you posted it up and then you went on that fateful day.
I got into activism. Yes, and then I saw, that's how I found out, through my activism, that's how I found out.
Right.
And on that fateful day, which is kind of funny to talk about because I was an hour late.
wasn't everybody? Come on.
I was an hour late. I wasn't actually at the first march. I mean, I know the routes. I know how it all transpired. But I actually wasn't there for the first march. I remember being very confused. I came through trying to remember the exact route. I took the train to Christopher Street that day because there was a delay with the World Trade Center, which takes me right to Zuccotti Park. But I took the train to Christopher Street. I caught the one train going down to the Staten Island Ferry. I came out of the Staten Island Ferry and started walking up Broadway, and I don't see anything. I see barricades all over the place. I see the NYPD all over the place. I see them looking very suspicious, like, what are you doing here? it was a very paranoid intimidating feeling that they were portraying and putting out there, and
wood for months to come.
And what happened was, here I am confused, not knowing what's going on, and in the distance I hear a faint sound of drumming, and I'm like,
wow. That's
where it is.
Bingo. So you found it.
I found it, yes. And to be honest, I left the first night. You know, I figured it was going to be like every other protest that I've been to. They have fun the whole day, and then they just leave. Well, that kind of happened, and that kind of didn't happen. I heard from one of my contacts from Jersey City Peace Movement that after the second night, that they were still there. Some of them, anyway.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said, well, you know what? I have to come back. I have to go back. And on the third day, I came back, and I never left.
That's amazing. So, like,
yep.
you left just thinking it was all over, like it was that one day. And did you leave feeling satisfied, or did you leave feeling like it was... You know, you had a lot of build up to that.
I was kind of like all this excitement, and it ends, and then my friend tells me, oh, they're still there. What?
Yeah.
So I was in a very convenient spot because I worked. You gotta understand where the World Trade Center is. I worked at Exchange Place, Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an overnight security. I was doing overnight security there. That's how I got all this reading done. So, so after, I guess it's by a whim of fate. After work, which is at 7 o'clock, I did the overnight shift at 7 o'clock. In the morning time, I would take the World Trade Center train over to New York, and 5 minutes later, I'm in Zuccotti Park.
Yes, you are. It's right there.
So, you know, it was literally a five-minute trip for me from where my job was.
That's amazing. That is fate. That is definitely the fickle hand of fate or whatever.
So what happened was I rarely slept in the park at night because, remember, I'm an overnight security guard at this time, so my circadian rhythms were a little off.
Right.
So I'm sleeping during the day. I'm nocturnal, and I'm up at night. So I'm trying. And when I was at the Toddy Park, you know, I tried to sleep during the day. That was not very easy.
No.
I got 4 to 5 hours of sleep at best. And then after work, I'd stay at the park all day, do the whole protest. When I'd gone to work, I showered in the sink. And I went back to social media. I stopped reading. I went to social media and just promoted Occupy at my overnight job on my phone.
As part of the media team. So that's
kind
great.
Of de facto, yeah. I mean, I wasn't officially linked to media. It happened. It was more like I kind of became deputized over time. But yeah, that's kind of what happened. I took photos and I shared photos and you know, I was sharing with people who I didn't even know. And I did this every single night.
Yeah. I know about that. So did I. But I was down here. I wasn't as close as you.
So, if I may take this time to talk about the sixth day, because
please.
I believe it's the sixth day of Occupy Wall Street that was the most important day in that movement's entire mythology, I should say, or mythos.
Right.
The sixth day. You'll never read about it in history books. You'll never hear about it. I mean, if they ever made an Occupy Wall Street drama film, I'm not talking about a documentary. I'm talking about a drama film.
Right.
They would have to include the sixth day.
Okay, well, make sure you talk into the phone because you were drifting off again.
Okay.
We don't want to miss anything.
They would have to include day six. That was the most important day. This was the day before Yell was pepper sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yell was a nice, very nice young lady who was going through some troubled times. But she was the one behind the orange nets who Tony Baloney pepper sprayed. That was a pepper spray felt around the world. This was the day before that incident.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about this on my tour because it's like, this is how you know. there's a powerful rainstorm in the forecast. Very powerful rainstorm. We haven't seen a rain like this all summer. In fact, are you familiar with Nick Isabella?
Yes.
Okay. Nick Isabella is going.
Part
Nick
of the
Isabella. Yes, he's on the A team. Yes. Nick Isabella was going frantic. He's like, guys, it's going to rain. Like, you don't understand.
People who know on Twitter know him as AccuWeather, so they know how excited he gets about
it. You don't understand. This is going to be a powerful rain event.
Right.
And so we're all holding umbrellas kind of around our media center. You have to understand that by this is day six. Our numbers kind of dwindled down to about 70. And there was about 70 of us left. That's it. And people were leaving. You know, they were sick. They were tired. I mean, the whole week was damp. People were eating wet pizza and soggy donuts. And, you know, the morale is very low. And here we are kind of figuring out what's going on. What are we doing from here? And the NYPD makes this really strange like arbitrary, like not arbitrary. I'm trying to think of the term. Right on the spot, they come up with this ruling that says, "Oh, you can't have an umbrella in the park."
Right.
What?
Yeah, the rules.
Yeah. Well, but they came up with rules on the spot. They didn't have any official
right.
rules. The rule was we couldn't have. The rule was we couldn't have any structures in the park.
Right.
You know, we couldn't have any tents. And the tents didn't come until a month afterward.
Right.
But anywho, going back to my point, the NYPD told us that we could not have any structures in the park, and the umbrella was considered as a structure.
Right.
And so we're kind of like panicking. We're all wet. We're all beat up. We're all sick. We're all hungry. We don't know what's going on. Some construction workers were laughing at us, telling us that, you know, we need to go get jobs
and
stop being a bunch of hippie losers. And it was a last-minute decision. We scrambled at the very last minute, about 5 minutes before the storm came. I was involved with this, and the other people were involved as well. I grabbed a few trash cans from different ends of the park, and I told somebody, go grab some brooms. Let's get some brooms together. And so we grabbed some brooms, we grabbed some trash cans, we put the brooms in the trash cans, and then somebody ran to go get a tarp, a big blue tarp cover. And we threw the tarp on top of the broom shafts, which were inside the trash cans, and us shorter folks held steady onto the broom shafts, the taller folks held onto the tarp edges, and everybody else ran in the middle and kind of huddled on top of the media center, on top of all the computers and stuff. And then the rainstorm came, but we shielded each other from the monsoon. And that's really the moment where we went from being a bunch of random strangers sleeping in a park to a movement that could be called Occupy Wall Street. You know, I was there for that. You know,
wow.
The way I look at it, that was if that doesn't happen, the media center gets destroyed. We don't have any more live streaming equipment.
Yeah.
We can't get the word out there. No more movement. It dies in its first week.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
It's
kind of like World War II history. When you hear stuff of the battles, you're like, wow, we should have lost that war, like, right there. But nope, we didn't. So, yeah, that's
so
very historical.
The way that I looked, because I wrote a letter to my guidance counselor from high school, my brother Caesar, and I explained to her that every day I have to live with knowing this, that the Occupy movement happened across 82 countries, 900 cities, and I was there when it was just 70 people.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
You know, I live with that. I live with knowing that every single day. And I'm very proud of that. You know, there's 7 billion some odd people on Earth, and it took 70 to create a worldwide movement.
Well, that kind of goes to what a lot of people say. You know, it's just one person can make a difference. And like you said, even you changed as a person. I know you've been on Facebook and on Twitter trying to let people know that, yeah, people can change because you did. So, like, one person can make a lot of difference, as well as 70. And, you know, what it's like, it's exponential when something is the right thing, right?
Right. So,
exactly.
So now, you know, like, that's my big story on my tour. I mean, I have
that's
a bunch of other stories.
Of course.
I have a bunch of other stories, but that's the one I really want to focus on. Because it really needs to get out there that, you know, day six was the make or break of Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. It's definitely, I can feel it. I mean, you can definitely see that. And AccuWeather got his storm in too. So, and here we are all these years later. Here we are all these years later. And now you're doing this tour. Now I know that, I was fretting because I was afraid the New York Times was going to scoop me, but actually I scooped them, sort of, because you had an interview with the New York Times about your tour last week, and so that article will be coming out, and people listening to this in archive will have probably read it by now, but you could go. Who is, do you remember the name of the reporter that interviewed you? I don't.
Erin. I hope I don't get her first name.
Her first name
incorrect, but her last name is Winchester.
Okay, so people can Google that and they can look for that if it's after
She does New York Times travel. She does New York Times travel blog.
Mm-hmm. And so how did that interview go? Did you, did you feel like that? Was there anything that she was particularly interested in or thought was cool?
She asked me the tough question that every reporter asks someone who's involved with Occupy. Usually that tough question is Occupy still alive?
Yes, I forgot about that one.
It
comes up all the time.
The way that I answered that question was probably in a way that she wasn't even expecting. Mm. I told her yes and no. Occupy can be compared to a dandelion.
Mm-hmm.
A dandelion. You know, in the springtime, a dandelion blooms up. It's nice. It's vibrant. It's yellow. And then after a little bit of time, the dandelion starts to lose its color, and it starts to get gray, and it starts fading. And then somebody comes around, picks up the dandelion, blows on the dandelion, and makes a wish. And all these little seedlings go all around the world. And those seedlings can be called the $15 an hour minimum wage efforts. Black Lives Matters, that can be a little seedling. That little seedling can be found in various groups who are pushing for... I mean, don't get me wrong. These movements have been in effect before Occupy, but it's a new platform to launch off of.
Right.
You can find it in the anti-GMO movement. You can find it in live streaming, replacing mainstream media. You can find
right.
it everywhere you looked around you, how this movement changed the perception of the 21st century United
mm-hmm.
States, politically and culturally.
Even in this podcast, which is called Occupy. I wouldn't be doing this without Occupy, I guarantee you that. Now, you mentioned the live streaming. You are a live streamer, and you're a good live streamer, and you're very dedicated. You were out today doing it, and you're out there in a lot of actions, doing a lot of documenting. And you told us that at one point you were going to implement that in the tour so that other people could join that aren't actually there in New York. Is that still something you plan on doing? Okay.
It all depends on demand. That's
right.
the thing. You know, if nobody's asking me, I won't do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want to do it at least once, maybe twice a month for those, because I do a walking tour, and I'm very well understand that, you know, and this is going way back to when I was a child, that not everybody is able to, participate in a walking tour.
That's right.
And the reason why I bring up my childhood is because I lived with my Uncle Vinny, and he had some issues. I'm trying to like not break up here. It's really getting to me. My Uncle Vinny was born with He was born with a genetic disorder. He was born with spinocerebellar ataxia type 2.
Mm.
So when he got older, he would, he himself would you know, he would generally, his condition got worse and worse. And,
right.
You know, I had to, when my mom, it was just us three. It was me, my mom, and my Uncle Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom was out working, I was taking care of Uncle Vinny. Basically, you know, I, it got better when my mom got married, and we had an extra person in the house to help take care of my uncle. But you know, there was no reversing what he did. You know, there was no reversing his condition. He was going to get worse and worse,
right.
And he couldn't walk. And you know, he was stuck in his room all day. Couldn't do anything aside from watch TV, unless if somebody pushed him around. And not too many people were around to do that. So this is kind of like linked to those to my childhood feelings, where
right.
you know, this is my presentation to somebody who is in a position similar to my Uncle Vincent, where, you know, I know you can't come on my tour, but I want you to experience it anyway, because if you were generally interested in Occupy, and there were a lot of people who had disability issues who were interested in Occupy, you know, they shouldn't be cast out because they can't walk, you know, they can't go on a walking tour, so just live stream the tour and give them a venue to watch it from.
Yeah, that's great. That's
so
awesome.
I really didn't feel that I would get affected by talking about my uncle this way, but you know, that's one of my, you know, earliest childhood memories. And
right.
you know, this
is just kind of a
full circle type ordeal where I'm just paying it back.
Right. Well, you know, being a caregiver at such a young age, that's huge, especially with someone that you love and you care about, you know. And we're getting back to those days now too, because we're not having ways to, you know, give people the care they deserve or, you know, should get.
Right.
So it's you know, it's tied into everything that brought you to Occupy to begin with. And that was, you know, another thing. I mean, you remember everybody wanted, well, what is Occupy about? What's the one thing you want, you know, and everything. And, you know, that was the famous question at the beginning too. And to me, you know, it's the one word that I found that covers all that is justice. And
yep.
because if you don't, there's nothing that justice doesn't cover. I haven't found it yet. You know, it's the thing that we really are going into more and more as this thing matures and as, you know, different things start spinning. And it's funny what you said about the dandelion, because we had Rivera Sun on here recently, and she has a book actually called The Dandelion Insurrection, which you may want to read. It's a fiction book, and she talks about that too, and she talks about how the dandelion seeds get in the cracks and they can grow in places where other things can't. So, you know, she even, you know, expounds on that metaphor, which is a really good one, because great minds think alike. But so I agree. You know, I laugh when people say, you know, oh, well, Occupy's dead, or what happened, or it's gone, or something. I'm like, what do you mean it's gone? It's like more alive than ever before. It's like, do you think a baby's going to stay like an infant? It doesn't, you know, but the infant is gone forever when the baby turns into a toddler. And then when it turns into a school child, it's that part's gone, and then a teenager. So it's, you know, you got to say goodbye to those initial things and realize it's still the same person. So that's kind of my metaphor for that. But so now your tour is going to start on Tuesday. What times are you going to do it? Always on Tuesdays? Is it going to be, and I know it's 3 hours. And
yep.
And how do, so people
it
sign
is,
up through Sidecar for that?
There's three ways you can get my tour. Three ways.
Mm-hmm.
Way number one, the general admission. General admission is for, you know, people vacationing to New York who might be interested in Occupy and want to learn about it. You know, typical tourists. You know, my price is $30. Now, I understand it might seem steep for a walking tour, but you know, I don't look at myself as just some other tour guide. You know,
right?
I am a tour guide. I also have about 10,000 hours of reading experience to back it up. You know, I'm not just going to give you a tour. I'm going to give you one of the best tours you ever had. So, you know.
Well, plus you were there.
I was there, too.
You got the good stories. Plus you're from Jersey. And I want to shout out to the people, the Jersey Factor. There's a huge Jersey Factor in Occupy. You know, there's a lot of important people came from Jersey over there. So I think that gets, people don't know about that either.
I mean, Occupy takes up about, I want to say, 65% of my tour. The rest of it is all my research history that I've done in the whole area as a whole.
Okay.
So my goal is to pretty much relate the past movement and radical happenings with my own personal experience and relate that to current events.
Very cool.
So basically going back to my original point, for standard admission, it's $30 per side tour. That's their side tour. So if you're, you know, if you're not part of the student group, you book me for side tour. If you are part of a student group, from groups ranging from 7 persons to 30 persons, I can be booked through Viable. But this is only for college students and their professors. So it's half off. I give student groups a discount. It's half off, $15 per person. And for activists, well, if you know by now, if you're an activist, you really feel like you should be entitled to pay me. I'm doing a tour based on activism. You know, of course you're not going to pay me. I don't want you to pay me. If you're an activist, if I know you, that's a kind of funny thing people ask me about. How do you know if somebody's an activist? I'm a live streamer. I've been all over the country. I know people all over the country. If I don't know somebody, I know somebody else who does know you.
Right. Yeah, that's not going to be hard to do. Well, you were inviting people on Twitter today. You're inviting Angie, Honorable George Martinez, and who else were you inviting? I can't remember.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm a live streamer. I'm going to ask somebody. You know, if somebody's going to come and come to me and say, oh, like all you got to do is tell me that one of your persons is going to come to me and ask me for a tour, and that's okay. You know, just, you know, somebody has to tell me beforehand. It's not like you can just randomly pop, unless if I know you, it's not like you can randomly pop up and say, hey, I'm an activist. I'm here for a tour. Oh, well, such and such didn't say so.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Make arrangements. Do it professionally, right?
Make arrangements. Do it professionally. I don't charge activists. That's wrong. You know, that is like a 9/11 tour guide charging somebody who was a first responder to go on a 9/11 tour. You don't do that. And there are people who are shameless enough to do that.
But not you. So that's good. So I wanted to ask you, too, what time of day are you doing it? At least this coming Tuesday? And
Generally, I'd like to stick to the afternoons. Late afternoons, because the crowds aren't as intense in the late afternoons as they are in the early afternoons, so we have a lot more space to walk around. As far as Tuesday is concerned, I don't have any bookings for Tuesday, but the tour is going on. Matt Hopper's going to give me a live stream, and I'm going to do it via a stop-motion solo.
Fantastic. Well, also a guest on the show, and as was Honorable George Martinez. So that's good. But, yeah, Matt should definitely do that. And that'll be great. And you won't be charging him either because he is an activist.
I'm not charging him. In fact, I'm giving him money.
Oh, no. Well, I heard he said he was going to make sure you're getting everything right, too. So that's good. What are friends for, right? What's that? You really faded there. Say it again. You said you're all kind of in dire straits?
We're all kind of in dire straits. And, you know, we got to help each other out the best way that we can.
That's right. Definitely.
So
if Matt needs traveling money,
then Matt gets traveling money.
There you go. Well, I think you'll have a lot of people taking this tour, and I'm certainly plan on hopping on some live stream at some point and hearing what you have to say, because it sounds like the 6-day story is pretty good, and all the rest of it is too, Mikey. I'm really excited, and I'm glad you came on the show tonight to tell everybody about it. Despite our little technical difficulties, I think we got the story told. So I wish you a ton of luck, and everybody can go ahead and check on the promo for your links on Facebook and Twitter. You're pretty easy to find. And then also I have a link to Side Tour. We lost Mike for some reason. He dropped. I'm just going to go ahead with, I don't know. I'll call him back. I'm going to call him back. I feel weird ending this show. I can't do that. We'll get him back. Hold on. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was pretty interesting. I had a feeling it was going to drop because we were losing. It was getting kind of.
What?
Hey, man, you dropped there for a second.
Yeah.
I got you back, though.
I wanted to add one more thing.
Yeah, please.
I can do the tour in less than 3 hours.
Okay.
Primarily with activists, though.
Right.
The thing is, when I have activists with me, they don't ask as many questions because they lived through the thing. So, you know. But when I have student groups, that's really what my 3-hour window is for. For student groups and for people who weren't involved with Occupy, naturally they're going to have a lot of questions. And so I'm going to dedicate a good chunk to answering questions about what went right, what went wrong, what celebrities came into the park, who did this, who did what that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I can do it in 2 hours. There's a lot of walking involved, but I can do it in 2 hours. But 3 hours is for basically groups that, you know, have a lot of questions.
Cool. Well, so flexibility is always key, especially when you don't know who's coming on your tour. And 3 hours can be long, but some people want that much. So it's nice that you're flexible and that you're ready to just really serve whoever comes along, Mikey. I think it's fabulous. I wish you, like I said, I wish you the very best of luck. And everybody just check on the promo if you want to see what the contact information is. And or you can just write in at talkupy.net. Ask me any question you want, and we'll cover it. Thanks, Mikey. Have a great next Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You too. Get some sleep.
I'm going to try. Maybe tonight it'll happen. Take care, man. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
So, that was fun. I'm glad I called it back. I don't know what happened there. Very weird. But anyway, we're closing out here with Earth Guardians, Be the Change. I don't have another show scheduled. I have some in mind, and I'll probably do another one before March fades out. But please go to talkupy.net or Twitter probably is a good place because I'm posting there quite a bit at talkupy_radio and follow me so you can find out where we go after March, because I'm pretty sure we'll be off the BTR platform. But I've said that before. We'll see, though. But anyway, take care, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Sign up for Mikey's tour. It's going to be good.
Let it capture your bone. Open your heart and hear our generation's call. It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one. It's time to be the change and that means everyone.
You gotta feel the change
to lead the change.
You gotta share the change
to spread the change.
You gotta give the change
to be the change. So be the change, so be the change.
Don't let society's ways drive you no more. Down the lock and open a different door. Step out of the cage from where you have been caught. Remember the truth that you have forgot.
We become the change that we want to see. A world's gonna be the way we want it to be. We are all connected by the same thread. What we do to each other, we do to the web.
It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change.